Welcome to session six. We'll call this session Diagnosis, Finding Out Where They Hurt. A very important part of pastoral care through preaching, knowing our people, finding out where they hurt. Jeremiah's statement, "They have healed the wound of my people lightly, saying peace, peace when there is no peace," aptly describes preaching without a pastor's heart. The words are there. The time is filled on a Sunday morning, but it's shallow, touching only the surface while the people have deep wounds. No medical doctor would dispense medicine without first approaching a diagnosis of the problem. Yet the "here, take this" approach of preaching that is clueless of the condition of the congregation is like dispensing medicine without a diagnosis. How can we comfort? Comfort my people, says your God, Isaiah 40 verse 1, if we do not know what is making them uncomfortable. Some expository preachers claim that if they faithfully reveal Scripture, that all the needs of the people will be addressed. True, our confidence in expounding on God's Word is based on the promise of Isaiah 55, that God's Word will not return void. But the case can also be made for knowing the needs of the people and applying God's Word to those needs. Paul's letters were written in a context of pastoral care. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? Galatians 3:1. Paul knew what was going on in the church in Galatia and wrote accordingly. A denominational study was made of failure in pastoral ministry by focusing on the question, where do ministers set themselves up for failure? After analyzing the data, an interpretation was offered. The pastor is doomed to failure if he or she does not take time to get to know the church, the people, and the community. This is quoted in Preaching Sermons That Connect by Craig Lascalzo. Well, are we taking the time? Lascalzo is his name. Lascalzo. Excuse me for butchering his name there. Well, are we taking the time to get to know our people? Lascalzo suggests, be a critical observer. Ask questions. When asking, ask open-ended questions. Too often we think we know the answers already, so our questions are off the mark. Learn to ask questions that inform you about the real needs of the real people to whom you preach. Spend time listening to them. Listen to them talk about their financial worries, their dreams for their children and grandchildren, their concerns for their environment. Develop a listening ear as you mingle with them after church, as you eat with them during the fellowship meal, as you minister to them in the hospital. Lascalzo continues, the issues facing your congregation are real issues to which the Bible speaks. As a careful interpreter of the Bible and the world, you can show your hearers the connection between the two. So consider four ways to diagnose the condition of your congregation. There's the Sam Walton way. Walton, the founder of Walmart, described his management style as MBWA, managing by walking around. His impromptu visits at his stores were legendary. He knew what was going on because he left his Bentonville, Arkansas office and went to his customers and associates, as he called his employees. Some of this pastoring by walking around needs to occur on Sunday mornings, visiting different Sunday school classes, checking in with different people and groups. You see, too often pastors hold up in their offices on Sunday mornings under a spiritual pretense of spending the time in prayer before the morning service. Well, pray during the week. When your people are there with them, be with them and hear what they're saying. On other days of the week, the walking around approaches to being a pastor does not imply being aimless ambling. Instead, as what is the Spirit saying to this pastor about this community? I often ask visitors to our area to give their impressions of what they sense, either spiritually in a discerning of Spirit's gifting or in the natural first impression opinion. We can get accustomed to things as they are, and it helps to have fresh eyes look at our communities. George Herbert divided his parish north, south, east, and west, and spent days of the week in each area each week. For Herbert, it was literally walking around those four areas each week. And there's great value in physically being in the parts of town where our people live. When we refer to something we observed in our sermons, our people know that we know where they live. Do you remember as a child when you saw your teacher at a store somewhere other than school? It was like, what are you doing here? Well, as if a teacher somehow got groceries other than by shopping. Well, notice what's going on when you shop. or when you're at the post office, or when you're attending a recreation department ball game? What are the people talking about? What are the issues that are impacting the community? We know from the book of Job that Satan is continually going to and fro on the earth and walking up and down on it. And the evidence of his cloven footprints are everywhere. As pastors, we are called instead to imitate Jesus, who went about doing good, for God was with him. Acts 10:38. A second way to diagnose the condition of your congregation is the Bob Woodward, Carl Bernstein way, through reliable reporters. In 1 Corinthians 5, Paul wrote, "It is actually reported that there is immorality among you." Well, who reported that information to Paul? We're not told specifically, but we know it was Paul's practice to put elders in place and that hands were not laid quickly on these leaders. Well, do you have a group of reliable reporters? Are there people who are assisting you in caring for the flock? Too often, valuable sources of information are neglected because we separate what we're doing as preachers from what they're doing as Sunday school teachers or youth group leaders or home group leaders or elders or deacons or whatever titles you have for the people who are giving leadership to the different ministries of the church. Well, check in with these people from time to time. Let them know you need to know about the portion of the flock that they're caring for. See, part of the training for new cell group leaders needs to focus on how their cell group fits into what's going on in the life of the whole church. And how, as cell group leaders, they're serving as pastors of a group of people who are part of the entire church. Ralph Naber, in his book, Where Do We Go From Here, emphasizes the pastoral nature of leading a cell group, and pastor's heart people need to be recruited, trained, and deployed for an effective cell group ministry. Some churches have taken receiving input from other leaders so far as to plan their pulpit calendar by committee. Bill Hybels describes their way of planning, this way of planning in The Contagious Christian. And certainly if drama and special music need to be coordinated in a morning service as a big production, then other people will have to be involved in the planning process. I'd prefer to keep the focus on the pastor checking in with other leaders and preaching with awareness of what's going on in the whole church. Well, one method that has proved useful is to have an annual leadership retreat, where the pastor hears from key leaders and develops a preaching plan for the following year with the help of information received at the retreat. A third way of diagnosing the condition of our congregations and preaching accordingly is the survey says method, through a congregational survey. In Handbook of Congregational Preaching, Lloyd Ogilvie describes the usefulness of a congregational survey. As you may recall, he was a pastor at First Presbyterian in Hollywood, California, for a number of years before he became the chaplain to the Senate. But he said that he found it was very helpful to do a yearly survey of what was going on in the people's minds and hearts. Well, experiment with different ways of getting information from your people. Ask them, what subject would you like to see addressed in a sermon? What is it about that subject that you'd like to know more about? Or some other question. Let them know their responses will be confidential. Finally, a Dear Abby approach, where one person's problem is representative of other people's problems through pastoral counseling, can serve as a way of diagnosing the condition of the congregation by asking, is this person's problem similar to what's happening in the lives of other people? As Ogilvie says, the sermon is our part of an ongoing dialogue with our people. It arises out of listening to them and to God in our study of the Word and the prayer. We listen to our people in conversation and counseling, the sensitivity to know what is going on in their lives, their relationships, and their struggle with the soul-sized issues of justice and righteousness in our society. We need to know their deepest hurts and most urgent questions, their greatest hopes and hurts. A ministry model that has been used as a way of offering prayer for people offers a five-step process. First, where do they hurt? Second, why do they have this condition? Third, what kind of prayer is needed? Fourth, what is happening as they're being prayed for? Fifth, what kind of follow-up is needed? Adapting that five-step model to preaching leads to asking questions like, where do our people hurt? As we are among our people, we will discover where they hurt. Now that phrase, among the people, was used to describe the contact Jesus had with people in Matthew 4:23, and the phrase is also found in Acts 6:8 in describing Stephen's ministry. among the people. Laos, the basis for the word laity, was among the lay people that Jesus and the early church did ministry. Today, sometimes layers of church bureaucracy serve as barriers between pastor and people. Well, let's make sure we're regularly among the people so that we can hear where they hurt. The second question in this five-step ministry model is a diagnostic question. Why do they have this condition? Often in praying for someone, the answer is obvious. The person has a cold because they've been around a bunch of germy kids. Other times, the answer is not so obvious. They want prayer for ulcers, but the real problem is stress in their lives, and they're not giving their troubles over to the Lord. Frequently, the condition is related to separation issues in their lives. Separation from God or from self, in the form of self-hatred or guilt, or separation from others. Brian Chappell writes about the fallen condition focus in Christ-centered preaching. A clear FCF provides the sermon with a distinct aim so that the preacher can organize the entire message to address a unified purpose. In applying the medicine of the Word of God to the needs of the people, we offer the biblical balm of Gilead for the wounds of our people. The psalmist said, "He sent forth His Word and healed them," in Psalm 107:20. Today, as we accurately apply God's Word to the hurts of our people, a healing word from God is sent, and that's powerful medicine. The third question in this five-step ministry model, what kind of prayer is needed, reminds us that Jesus ministered to people in a variety of ways. Jesus healed some with a touch, others with a word, and on one occasion, Jesus put mud and spittle in a man's eye sockets. The one-size-fits-all approach was not how Jesus did ministry. Instead, He described what He did as doing what Father is doing, John 5:19. Well, what kind of preaching is needed? Cookie-cutter sermons will not keep the attention of people today. Part of our pastoral care in being faithful servants of the Word has to do with preparing spiritual meals with variety and flavor. A friend who is now a bishop in a liturgical church that offers the Eucharist several times a week shared with me his delight in feeding the people through the elements of communion. As preachers, we get to feed the people the Word of God. Wouldn't you like your people to receive God's Word in the way that Jeremiah did? "When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight. For I hear your name. I bear your name, O Lord God Almighty." Jeremiah 15:16. As we are aware of their needs and aware of the need to communicate clearly and with a combination of methods, a connection will be made with the people and the power of God's Word. Now, the fourth question in the five-step prayer model, what's going on, encourages a ministry approach of expectation. A theology of preaching based on Romans 10:17, where faith comes from hearing the message and the message is heard through the Word of Christ, will be a theology of expectation that the preached Word is going to make a difference in people's lives. Preaching with a minimum of notes is a pastoral care issue as well as a good communication skill. Preaching to faces instead of to the manuscript says, "This is for you. What I'm sharing is not something merely written on paper. This is for you, here and now." Face-to-face interaction is for the counseling session and also for sermon time. What's going on while you're preaching? Are they paying attention? Are you keeping their attention? Who is especially absorbing the sermon? Who seems indifferent? What adjustments need to be made in midstream? And the final question in the five-step ministry model, what follow-up is needed, reminds us of Jesus saying to the woman and the Pharisees that the Pharisees wanted to condemn, "Go and sin no more." Forgiven, now she was to live a life of repentance. In the light of the healing word they received, what's next? Immediate ministry is often in order. Prayer at the altar, or prayer offered by a ministry team. Follow-up may be offered through cell groups that emphasize an element of the sermon in that week's cell meeting, or through encouraging counseling, either by the pastor or staff counselors. Sometimes whole seminars and workshops may be needed to reinforce what was introduced in a sermon. And hearing that word on forgiveness from additional reliable sources may be necessary. In the parable of the sower, Jesus makes it clear that spiritual warfare is going on when the word of God is sown. Some who hear will have the word snatched away quickly by Satan, like seed along a path. How to preach so that the word penetrates hard ground hearts. Some will receive the word gladly, because they lack maturity, will not allow the word to become make a difference in their lives. And trouble or testing will bring about a falling away from faith. Well, how to preach a word so that the word takes root in rocky ground? Others will nod their heads and agree as we preach, but this world is too much with them. Worries, wealth, desire for stuff, and the word among thorny weeds gets choked. Well, how to preach so that the word of God is valued more than with this world's glories? Preaching is warfare against a subtle but powerful enemy. But when real preaching occurs, that's when the faith comes. That's when the fruit comes forth. Good soil prepared by regularly hearing the word of God. The word fully heard and accepted in a 30, 60, 100-fold increase miraculously occurs. That's from Mark 4, 1 through 20. Well, let's prepare our hearts, our people's hearts, to be good soil for the word of God, the life-changing, healing word.